It's time for Sportslit 101. Bruce is here and a brand new book to talk about.
Yeah, this book really took me by surprise, because I will tell you that every once in a while I think, is this another book about Zen and fly fishing? And I love to fly fish. I get the whole mystique and the aura. This is a book about how a young boy learned to love the wilderness, and how a very thoughtful, very bright man discusses how fly fishing takes him into the wilderness, but he discovers both the how and the why of it. But what it's really focused on begins with something that began in the early 1960s with a letter from Wallace Stegner, one of the great one of the 10, 15 greatest American writers ever, especially of the last century. And Stegner was known to many as the author of Big Rock Candy Mountain. He won the Pulitzer Prize for Angle of Repose. But he wrote a lot of nonfiction. He wrote about the importance of the West. This was not some regionalist, but he wrote about the fact that between the Intermountains, between the Rockies and the Sierras and Cascades, lies this huge wilderness, and America needs wilderness. And he wrote about how people in that, virtually every climate except coastal stuff exists there. There are alpine meadows and valleys and lakes and rivers and streams. But in those wild places reside species that don't reside anywhere else. And he grew up, Quinn Grover is the author of the book, and he grew up in Salt Lake City. But he and his brothers were always headed out to the mountains when he was young, and his parents and grandparents encouraged that. Were he not a good family man, would have probably been a trout bum. Took a little extra time through college. He spent a lot of time fishing. But when he talks about public lands, it really brought back two things we've talked about in the past. One, when we talked to the author of the book Shenandoah about the establishment of the Shenandoah National Park and to some extent the Smoky Mountain National Park. What we have to remember is in the East, Philadelphia, New York, Albany, Hartford, New Haven, Worcester, Providence, Boston are all within an 8-hour drive of Bar Harbor. That is somewhere around 70 million people are within a day's drive of Bar Harbor. And the same is true when you look the other way at the Smoky Mountains and Shenandoah. If the Rockefellers hadn't donated what they donated, if the Land for Maine's Future and Governor Baxter hadn't done what they'd done, God knows Maine would be just full of vacation homes everywhere, right? But when you think of the size of the West, 46% of the Intermountain area is owned by the federal government. A lot of that is maintained in national parks, some of it in national forests, and also by the BLM or the Bureau of Land Management. And there's always been great friction between ranchers and people who want to use the areas for recreation. Montana has done a great job in changing that, the tensions there and stuff. But the argument made in this book about the importance of the wilderness is, even if you just stop at the edge and look in, that needs to be there. That we need to think across the whole United States about the importance of there being huge swaths of areas far from us protected. I mean, we think in, Baxter State Park is a decent size. The Adirondack State Park in New York is, I think, about as big as Rhode Island. but these are small parks compared to what they're talking about in the West. And because all the water in the West starts in the mountains, and the Colorado River doesn't even run to the sea anymore because so much water's drawn out of it, that any major changes to those public lands endangers us as much as a species as any of the other species. But here's a couple of great things about this. There's not one mention of any of the major outdoor companies. There's no mention. And as you know, I'm very fond of Orvis because I got to know the Perkins people a little bit. But there's no Orvis, no L.L. Bean, no Eddie Bauer, no Sage Rods, no thing. He doesn't talk about the equipment he uses. He talks a little bit about the flies, but he doesn't spend a lot of time going into all the Latin, whatever. You don't need to even like to fish to love this book, because it is the most thoughtful series of meditations, and these are all basically essays and of different lengths. He puts into perspective how you live your life based on how you relate to the natural world. And it's really This book really took me by surprise. I mean, it just so far exceeded what I thought it was going to be. And I think he'd be a fabulously interesting guy to talk to. He was an engineer, got canned in the dot-com bubble, and now it teaches English at Brigham Young University, Idaho, which I think is in Idaho Falls. Apparently comes from an LDS family, very family-oriented guy. It's really a book that I wish more people would read, because it really made me think. I spent 8 hours on the river, and every time I was casting or reeling in a fly or getting upset because I caught some monster chub, I'd think about what he was saying about, you know, why are we out there? Why are we doing this? What is it about the natural world? So even if you're a city dweller, never, don't even like to have a rose garden, this is a great book. Wilderness of Hope by Quinn Grover from Nebraska, subtitle Fly Fishing in the Public Lands of the American West.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like what Abe and Heather were saying. One of the advantages to having all of this wonder in our downtown is the fact that, yeah, you can also drive less than an hour and be in the wilderness.
Well, the other thing is you can go, you know, the upper reaches of the Kanduskeag Stream contain trout. You can fish right in this area. You can fish in the Penobscot. There are all kinds. As the river's getting better in the east, the fishing is getting better. There are plenty of people who hunt within the city limits of Bangor because there are places you can do that. And I think that what Mainers, we need to put aside the whole Katahdin Woods and Waters thing, because that was a weird, sort of odd way that all came about. But when we talk about land for Maine future, and people say they, you know, want to add more public lands, remember that we're saving this not just for the people in Maine. We're saving it from the guy from Utah who's never seen an eastern boreal forest. The same way they're saving the high desert for those of us who can't imagine being that far from lakes and ponds and streams. And it says something, I think, about the soul of a nation if it cares about its great land. And this book, I think this is a book I'm very likely to read a second time. Is that good?
That sounds great. And the title again?
The title again is Wilderness of Hope. That comes from Wallace Stegner's letter that kicked off the 1960 Wilderness Act campaign, by Quinn Grover, Fly Fishing in Public Lands in the American West, from Bison Books, which is an imprint of the University of Nebraska Press. Great book.
Realize, too, again, how visionary Percival Baxter was.
Oh, yeah. And you remember when we had Dale Wheaton in here, when we were talking, he was saying that if a kid isn't exposed to the fishing and hunting and outdoors by age 8, you've lost them. I mean, he said that was time and time again. It's fascinating how in this book he talks about how he knows that his daughters are probably not going to become the fly fishermen he is, that soccer and certain other things are going to be more interesting to them in their lives. But he made a point of introducing them to the wilderness and to these things when they were young, so they would understand that when he went off fishing, why he wanted to go up there and why he wanted to do that. And I thought that's interesting. We often tell our kids we like something, we show them how to do it, and then we get disgruntled if they don't want to do it too. Really, everybody's got to find their own thing.
And find it in their own time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my wife used to fly fish a little bit with me, and she'd tell you, I'd rather sit by the lake and read and do other things. Mm-hmm. Bruce, I really don't, and which is fine, you know. And my older son, a guide, a fisherman, my younger son, yeah, he likes to do it, but he's not really into it, you know. But knowing that land is there. You know, it's like I told someone at WERU Radio, to bring up another radio station, about 5 years ago. I don't listen that often or as much as I used to, but I contribute every month because I want to make sure it's there when I want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about the way I very much feel about the Western lands. It's really good.
Were you a fisherman as a kid, Kerry?
I wasn't, which was weird because a lot of my family, my mother's family, was hunters and fishermen, but it just never clicked for me. I like being along the ocean in Maine, but the woods of Maine never had a huge appeal.
Was that because you were born?
I actually do think that's part of it. I mean, I was, you know, essentially lived my whole life in Howland, which, you know, the Seboise Woods and,
you would not call that a suburb. No, that's rural town.
So it was everyday life for me was surrounded by the woods of Maine. And yeah, I think you lose it loses its specialness when it's part of your everyday life.
Right.
But there are still things I remember really fondly, going up to Baxter and some of the lakes up around Lincoln and Lee, yeah, up in that area were just absolutely beautiful.
Some beautiful lakes up
to
there.
Go and spend the day at a lake in and I can't remember the name of the lake, but there's one between Lincoln and Lee that is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and there's nothing, to me, there's nothing like falling asleep along a lake and waking up on a lake.
Oh, well, we have, where we are at the north end of Moosehead, we'll get 2 and 3 foot waves on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And falling asleep to those waves, yeah, and waking up is like being at the ocean.
That's wonderful. Let's
see if I can find you this picture to show
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and spent, my family spent a lot of time on Big Narrows, Little Narrows,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
some of the lakes out Cold Stream and even further out towards the Burlington area. I remember going out on the boat with my brother in the mornings and, you know, coming up on the Cove of Loons and,
oh yeah,
just, you know, there's some absolutely beautiful, even if you're not fishing or hunting, there's some absolutely beautiful.
We watched a loon ways. Family this morning with them showing the babies what to do. And it was, watched it for about an hour. It was really, really cool.
Yeah. You know, it's just absolutely beautiful ways to spend a day, in the beauty of Maine.
Now you're a city kid.
Now I'm a city kid.
Bruce, what's coming up in the weeks ahead on Sports Lit?
Well, I don't know, because the book they I was supposed, uh-oh, to get a different book, and the book that arrived was Upton Bell's There at the Creation, which, of course, is now out in paperback. So if you didn't buy it in hardbound, go get it. So I got to go look and see what's in the queue. There's still two more things in Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles I want to talk about. So I'm not really sure exactly what's happening, but it'll be one of those two things, more than likely. Right. Olympic basketball, or I forget what the other one is.
That sounds good. We'll look forward to it.